Could you explain to us what kind of factors can influence market losses like the ones we've seen this week?
Sure. So I think the first thing to understand what, you know, how prices are moving, the first thing is to understand, well, what prices actually reflect. So, you know, when you buy a share, what you're essentially doing is you're buying an entitlement to all future dividends that share pays. And what a dividend really is just a share of the company's profits. So when you're buying a share, you're essentially buying part of the company's profits. And so really that's expectations. We don't really know what a company's profits are going to be in the future. So you're buying expected future profits. So if you expect profits to be high in the future, you're prepared to pay a high price. If you expect profits to be low in the future, you're going to pay a low price. So the prices really reflect expected future profits. So when you see a large drop that we've seen recently, this is because there's been a sudden change in people's expectations of future profits. So the economy was sort of humming along nicely. Everyone thought companies are going to be fine. And a good example might be airline industry. Everyone thought Qantas is going to get its usual amount of clients. And all of a sudden, Corona's hit. People have stopped flying, and Qantas's client base has dropped off dramatically, and the expected profits of Qantas is going to be hit dramatically. So any sort of factor that can suddenly shock people's expectations of future profits is really what will drive these big moves that we've seen.
I think that's an excellent example. I think that kind of definitely puts the coronavirus concerns into perspective. But as we say, with these losses, they're the worst day since the 2008 global financial crisis. And to my understanding, we were kind of looking towards having one of these crises even before the coronavirus kind of occurred. So what other factors actually influence this outside of things like the coronavirus?
I think you're sort of touching a little bit from my perspective that the economy was sort of wavering a little bit beforehand. And so I think that this kind of stems from the fact that the financial crisis was basically too many people had too much debt. And suddenly everyone realized that these debts aren't going to get paid back. And so the solution to that was to go out and incentivize people to take on more debt. So central banks cut interest rates to record lows, to incentivize people to take on more debt. Governments went out and had a huge amount of spending issued a huge amount of debt to spend to try to stimulate the economy. So essentially everyone had huge debt, was the problem with the financial crisis. The solution to that was to take on even more debt. So I don't think the financial crisis was sort of ever fully resolved. And the economy was been humming along slowly, and all of that additional debt might not be a problem if inflation could erode that debt away. And the only way that that happens is everything hums along nicely and people just keep their day-to-day business, and inflation eventually gets rid of these huge debts that everyone took on. So the economy, I guess, was on a bit of a nice edge that if the economy hums along nicely, eventually the financial crisis will get eroded away. But if the economy doesn't hum along nicely, there's a big issue. And to keep the economy humming along nicely over the last 10 years, central banks have been cutting interest rates lower and lower and lower and lower, and they're now at a point where there's almost no interest rate cuts left. You know, interest rates are close to zero. So they're certainly at this kind of tipping point that the economy could tip, and I think Corona is just, that catalyst that sort of tips, can potentially tip that economy over the edge, where it's very hard for central bank intervention to try to get the economy back on track.
Now, given this catalyst, as you say, has come out of China itself, and China is Australia's major trading partner, I mean, we haven't been hit as hard medically as some other countries, but are we being hit harder economically for that reason, given a close relationship with China?
I certainly wouldn't say there's probably some countries that could be affected more. But if you look at Australia's three biggest exports, they're iron ore, coal, and education. And when you look at things that China demand, iron ore, coal, and education are big on that demand list. So certainly, you've seen stock prices for companies like coal, you know, coal companies or mining companies, iron ore companies, things like BHP, we've seen big drops in their share prices. So far, those companies seem to have, I guess, internally managed that storm in that the share price has been affected, but we haven't seen huge layoffs at BHP or something as of yet. And hopefully they've sort of had pretty good risk management and got their financial system in order that they can weather a blip like this. But also, if you look at that third biggest export, something like education, there's been a very direct and immediate impact there. As soon as the travel ban was put in place, then a huge amount of international students wanting to arrive in Australia were unable. And so recently, I think a few days ago, I read an article in ABC News where Tasmanian Vice Chancellor essentially told the employees that UTAS was facing sustained headwinds to being long-term sustainable. So, you know, they were almost thinking that they're going to be unsustainable long-term as a result of this. And as a result, they took pretty drastic measures and had to cut 75% of their courses being offered to hopefully just be financially stable. Similarly, I think about a week earlier, I saw an article in SMH. Sydney Uni had a $200 million shortfall off the back of Corona, and as a result was going to pause building projects, freeze staff recruitment, and ban all unnecessary travel as some cost-saving measures. So certainly these are sort of immediate direct effects that you see in the education sector, and they'll have natural flow-on ripple effects throughout the rest of the economy as well, I suspect.
And the federal government's really been crying out for its promised surplus that doesn't seem likely to happen. They're blaming the coronavirus for this one. There, in terms of recovery, in your view, what does the Australian government need to do to see us recover in the best, shortest amount of time?
Well, I think this is going to be, you know, I guess the easiest and best recovery is that we just get a vaccine and the world. Goes along nicely. So it's a bit of a grey, you know, certainly the government, I don't think, is going to get their budget and will need to step in. But as I mentioned before, with central banks having set interest rates so low, I think it's going to be a very hard task for just the government alone to try to stimulate this economy. You know, I feel that there really needs to be a two-pronged approach of reducing interest rates to get the you know, private individuals borrowing or, you know, less stress on their mortgage payments and these things. So I feel it all sitting on the government's shoulders is a hard task for the government, and certainly there'd have to be a lot of stimulus from the government to make sure that if Corona becomes as bad as it could be, it's a lot to sit on their shoulders to try to get the economy going again.